All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We are talking about the Erie Coke plant and the situation down there. And from Hold Erie Coke Accountable is Dr. Mike Campbell. He's a Mercer's biology professor and a leader in the HECA efforts. Dr. Campbell, thanks so much for joining us here. Appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
All righty. So, tell us when you got involved with the whole concept of, you know, learning more about what was going on with Erie Coke. Has it been, decades at this point?
Not decades. I think I started getting involved with looking closely at what was going on at Erie Coke around 2016,
okay,
2017. And initially, I'm a bird watcher, and I spend a lot of time down at the South Pier and the East Avenue boat launch because it's just 10 minutes to get to it from my house. And
wow.
And I can see a lot of interesting things there that I would otherwise have to drive all the way to Presque Isle. But since you go right by Erie Coke when you go to either one of those locations, I started to see and detect things going on there that this just didn't seem right.
I would imagine the smell was pretty prominent.
Yeah, not all the time, but mm-hmm. every other time that I'd go to, especially the East Avenue boat launch, there'd be sometimes these powerful rotten egg smells. And in the wintertime, on a few occasions, I was down there and I'd see like this black film on the snow that had to have come from mm-hmm. Erie Coke. And apparently that soot that I was seeing on the snow is something that the neighbors in the community there had been experiencing for a long, long time.
They're breathing it.
Yeah, well, the soot is one thing. The invisible mm-hmm. poisonous gases that were being released were a real concern.
Yeah. When you think about where, when I met you folks there, it wasn't necessarily that you were absolutists. You were not necessarily saying, we've got to shut this plant down. You were originally asking for just comply with the law, with the EPA directives and so on, right? And because both at the state level, the DEP, and the national level, EPA, they had been involved in trying to get compliance from the Erie Coke plant for years, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we named our organization Hold Erie Coke Accountable because that's exactly what we wanted to see happen, especially because we knew that there were 100 jobs there, and jobs aren't something to be careless about, and we hoped that if we brought more of a spotlight onto Erie Coke's violations, that there would be more pressure put on it to kind of clean up their act and put some money back into making the plant work better and stop violating the laws. But it looked to us like what was happening is they were simply paying fines for their violations and not changing anything.
Wow. So when push came to shove, what do you think caused the corporation to shut down the Erie Coke plant?
Well, I think the first thing was DEP kind of put them under the microscope of scrutiny because they were up for renewal of their Title I permit, which was their permit to release contaminants to the air. And
meanwhile, there's a whole elaborate monitoring system that's going on here, right?
Right. And, well, there's always
tripping those
deals. There had been required monitoring devices on the stack for a long time, but what DEP did in advance of the actual permit renewal process and everything is they set up these detectors for benzene all around the perimeter of the plant, around the fence, because of suspicion that there could be some releases of benzene benzene is a carcinogen if it's inhaled, and they wanted to make sure that there weren't dangerous levels of benzene being released into the neighborhood. And I think the other thing that happened was, besides the air pollution, Erie Coke had contaminated wastewater that it for a long time had been sending over to the Erie Wastewater Treatment Plant, and they were not in compliance with their requirements for pre-treating their wastewater. And ultimately, it wasn't the air pollution that caused the plant to shut down, but their failure to be able to address their water contamination. They had a big spill from a storage tank, and contaminated wastewater was all over the place. And ultimately, that is what precipitated their closing down. They didn't have, or said they couldn't afford to fix all that.
Wow. So here we are. That all happened close to 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, they shut down in December of 2019, sadly, wow. Right before Christmas. Just that's locked tough, the gates, yeah, and the employees showed up in the morning, and they said, "Now you don't have a job here anymore."
So a full 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that whether it was DEP or somebody has been starting to try to get a handle on, well, what's there, like do core samples and things like that. What kind of research has been done since the plant is closed?
There has been a lot of work done there, none of it paid for by Erie Coke. I mean, soon after they shut down, within a year, the DEP asked the Region 3 EPA to come in to help address there were all kinds of hazardous materials. I mean, the site was dangerous because of all of the stuff that was left behind, and you know, Erie Coke people left, and it took the EPA over a year just to remove the things on site that were hazardous to people or threats of explosions, and then DEP came in and started doing
threats of explosions.
Oh yeah, there were materials there that were flammable, that if they, you know, if someone could have gotten in there, you know, there was a fence around the property, but it wasn't a fence that couldn't be breached. If somebody went in there and fooled around, you know, with matches, there could have been explosions.
Was there any kind of evidence that maybe kids were running around down there, or
I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But I, you know, just kids being what they are, right. I certainly would have been in there as a kid. You know,
I mean, there's so many. You know, you hear these stories of the bay rats. You know, that used to hang around the grain elevators and so on. You know, back in the day, right? And so, my gosh.
I mean, even just, you know, the way kids like to go into places where they can make bike ramps and things.
Right.
I'm glad that the DEP had EPA come and help do that, and that was at no small expense. That the EPA just removed the bad stuff, and then for the last year and a half, the DEP has been doing detailed investigations of all of the contamination on the site, and that again is, you know, to the tune of probably over $1 million in the costs of just doing the analysis, because it's, there's dozens of different types of chemicals that aren't cheap to analyze, and it's not just the ground, the surface of the site that's contaminated, but the groundwater underneath it, and there are concerns because they have found such high levels of contaminants that there could be contaminants being released off-site. And to do that...
So are they worried about contaminants leaching into the bay or the lake water, or not yet?
I don't think that they have enough data yet to know for sure that contaminated groundwater is reaching the lake or the bay,
okay.
Although it could go either way, because the water table is right below the property, and the water table, you know, flows north towards the lake in general on that part of the bayfront. Mm. But once it gets out towards the South Pier, it could go east towards the lake or west towards Garrison Run and into Presque Isle Bay. And so I don't think there are good answers yet of whether or not the groundwater is entering into the lake or the bay.
So yeah, these are like the big red flags right now, is even though the plant is closed, my understanding is that some of the air quality indicators have gone up really well. I mean, basically, as soon as it closed, we started seeing cleaner air on the east side, right?
Right. The air pollution has stopped, but the concern now is the contamination in the soil and in the groundwater underneath it. And the fact that there was one location north of where the main plant operations were, that's not too far from the Lampe Marina, where there's evidence of contaminants having gotten into the edge of the lake in the sediments there.
Oh my.
And there's some not good contaminants that there's evidence that they have gotten into the lake sediments there. But we don't know yet, you know, the fate of those contaminants and what kind of harm it could do to aquatic life. So
it's almost like, where do you start? Like, do you, you know, where do you, you've got this gaping wound, and do you put a Band-Aid on it? Do you put compression on it? Not to push the metaphor too much, but where's the biggest harm? I would think getting contaminated water into the lake sets us back decades. For what, you know, from where Lake Erie is now and where Presque Isle Bay is now compared to what it used to be. And if this were to get into those waters, especially Lampe Marina, it's a recreational area with,
right,
you know, visitors with RVs and their boats. Incredible.
Yeah, well, I guess the good news is that, you know, there have been no direct signs of people in the immediate vicinity being harmed by, okay, the contaminants. But in a way, we can't answer the question or even speculate about how bad this is until the DEP is able to finish its good comprehensive analysis, which I was glad to see that it took another year. I mean, the DEP's consultant put out an extensive report in July that you can see on the DEP website that, you know, laid out acres and acres of tables of the alphabet soup of contaminants that were detected, many of them above the levels that are considered okay, you know.
Wow.
But there hasn't been a lot of interpretation of that data that was put out in July yet.
Okay.
But it was bad enough that DEP hired the consultant again to do another year of studies where they're going to look further and deeper and at more locations to try to learn more about the extent of the contamination. So we really can't know exactly what the steps would be to clean it up until they finish the diagnosis of how bad it is.
You're dealing with surface ground. Again, the DEP is doing this comprehensive. They hired a consultant. They're doing a comprehensive look. And a second year means other parts of the campus, you use that word loosely, other parts of the site that they could continue to investigate, because you never know what was an ancient dumping ground or you know, had a, and you know, had some kind of huge container, you know, in the 30s or whatever that would leach. I mean, how do you even investigate all that? And you know, or you'd have to do every 10 feet, you'd have to do something, you know.
Well, there is a lot of drilling and excavating of material, and you know, every sample, they have to decide what they're going to test it for, and so that's why it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this sort of comprehensive investigation. If it was just one thing like metals, it wouldn't be as bad, but it's metals and things like cyanide and arsenic, and which are poisons that people recognize. But then there's volatile organic compounds that are pollutants, and semi-volatile organic compounds, and thankfully they've been testing for PCBs, which are were one of the ones I was worried about. Mm-hmm. The PCBs used to be used in transformers, and sure, since Erie Coke had a power plant, you know, I was worried that maybe there would be PCBs on the site, and they did detect some, but not at a lot of locations and at high concentrations. And those are the ones that are worrisome, because if they get into the lake, then they can bioaccumulate in fish. Wow. And that contributes to some of our fish consumption advisory. So sure, I was happy that there weren't PCBs. But there are other bioaccumulative things called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons that are really common pollutants in coke manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And they certainly found those all over the place.
I'm sure. Could you put the headset on? We're going to take a phone call, Doc. Let's let our caller ask the question. Hi, you're live on Talk Erie here with Dr. Mike Campbell.
Doctor, quick question. Our municipal water plant, is it sufficient to filter out these harmful chemicals, metals, and such? And if not, what would be necessary in order for our water plant to come up to the standard to take care of these issues?
The water plant doesn't have any connection to the contaminants at Erie Coke anymore. When Erie Coke was in operation, they had a permit to discharge their wastewater to the water treatment facility, and they generally could handle it, although there were many times when they did violate the terms of their permit.
No, I think you're misunderstanding my question. My question is, with these contaminants in our water supply and in the lake, is our municipal water plant up to the task of filtering these out to provide clean and safe drinking water for the citizens?
I wouldn't expect so. If you take toxins that are in water and send it to the wastewater treatment plant, that would be harmful to the biological treatment process there. So I don't think, without some kind of pre-treatment, that the wastewater treatment plant would be able to kind of purify the contaminated water.
And remember though, you the wastewater is treated and then it's released, and then you have a whole different area where we're taking in that water. What is it, 3 miles out or something like that, past the beach, and then that gets treated on its way in through their processes. I would think there's a very, very low risk of any kind of cross contamination. But again, I'm a guy on the radio, you know.
Okay, my question is, though, is we get our water out of the lake, and if these contaminants are in our lake water, is our municipal water supply providing us with water without these contaminants?
Yes, the intakes for the Erie Water Authority are far offshore, and they test that water very carefully before, during, and after their preparation to delivering it to its customers. So I have no concerns about Erie Coke water pollutants affecting our water supply.
Got to keep going. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Dr. Campbell, we've been talking about the analysis that's going on from the Department of Environmental Protection from Harrisburg. They're spending a lot of money. I would imagine this has got to be one of their bigger projects on their docket, right? I mean, across the Commonwealth?
The leadership for the investigation is from the Northwest Regional Office in Meadville. And the funding for it is through a program, HSCA HESCA, which is the sort of like a Superfund type program mm-hmm. that the state runs. And it is expensive, but the state and the federal government are trying to recover their costs from the responsible parties. I don't know if they're having any success, but it's not that they just pay all those bills and don't try to get the people responsible to pay for it.
I'm sure there's lien upon lien upon lien going on.
Definitely,
there.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Dr. Campbell, do you believe that the EPA or the DEP is not going to go after them for the cleanup? Well, you just mentioned that they're attempting to. Right?
Right. And there are ongoing criminal proceedings that are still in the process.
So, yeah, the second question from someone else is what's happening with the supervisors who were charged? Because they did. They actually indicted some folks, right?
I mean, right. I think there was one guilty plea from one of the persons at the plant who was charged. And I think the person above him in the chain of command pleaded not guilty, and Erie Coke Corporation pleaded not guilty. But I don't think those things have actually come to trial yet.
Interesting. All right. So there's analysis that's going to be happening, but we alluded to it, but I want to kind of dig into it a little bit here. The Port Authority and the Erie County Redevelopment Authority are teaming up, and I would imagine there's other players involved in starting to discuss what the future of that land would be. It's a significant number of acres right on our bayfront, and it could be brought back to a substantial use, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah,
and the process that is sort of in the works would involve condemnation of the property, which would then allow the Port Authority to take ownership, with the Erie County Redevelopment Authority being a partner in the actual cleanup of the site. And I think it was a good idea to advance that, because with the former owner not doing anything and apparently being insolvent, although the corporation hasn't declared bankruptcy, it could have just sat there being completely useless for a long, long time. So yeah. I think it was good that the Port Authority and the Erie County Redevelopment Authority took this step, although it's not a done deal yet.
And so they would, and what I'm hearing from Tina Mangine and so on is it's going to be decades. It could be 10. It's a 10 to 20 year project of how this would turn out. But you had mentioned that, I mean, this has been done before where they remove the contaminated soil and somehow would have to figure out a way to either, I don't know, would they cap the contaminated groundwater? Or?
With badly contaminated sites, you can cap the contaminants that are near the surface to prevent them from coming up mm-hmm. and exposing people. If the groundwater is contaminated, addressing that depends upon what's there, how fast it might be leaving the site or dissipating. I mean, contaminants are sometimes slowly broken down by bacteria that are in the groundwater. But I mean, that probably, if it's not going anywhere, would take decades.
Wow. And is there a comparative situation here in Erie County with the golf course, the Superfund, the Mill Creek Golf Course? Is that a similar thing, or is that nowhere near this kind of complexity?
It might be similar. I don't honestly know the precise contaminants that were yeah. over there in that that site near the airport.
I think that was a dump, probably.
Though. Yeah. There was another one over around 16th Street on the west side of Pittsburgh Avenue that that was badly contaminated, and they turned that into soccer fields. They put a cap on it, but they still monitor the groundwater on both of those sites, the one that became a golf course and the one that's now soccer field. So that could be, you know, one of the possible outcomes, but I would think that given the location of the Erie Coke site right next to the port and the lake, that maybe there could be better uses. And among the possibilities would be some sort of commercial development of the site. One of HECA's interests is to make sure that the public has a role in the decision-making of what is going to happen there, because our worst fear is that the property would end up going to another industrial use that could be another polluter. And we want to make sure that the public has some say and hopefully it isn't going to end up being another Title I,
right.
you know.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of even manufacturing that is clean manufacturing.
Sure.
You know, I always think about, they say for server farms, for example, you need a lot of water. It's like, why don't we have a server farm anywhere near here, or mm-hmm. Mining crypto or something? I don't know. I don't want to get too far-fetched, but I mean, something that would align with the location, that could be a source of good paying jobs.
Well, given all the human recreation, and that's part of our local tourism, it would be nice if some portions of the property might be developed in a way that it benefits our local tourism. Mm-hmm. The Port Authority already has the Lampy Marina and a campground there. If portions of the property could be clean enough, or could be made clean enough, that it could make for a nice increase in the attraction of the South Pier and the Lampy Marina for people that come here from down south in the summer.
I mean, would you, and again, maybe this is not a fair question, but it's probably never going to be residential, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Those would be very high bars to meet.
Yeah,
when you think about what the kind of use though would be, I mean, that could be some high rent areas.
Oh my gosh, the sunrises that you can see from the South Pier are gorgeous. And you know, some of that, although the Lampy Marina would kind of be in the way, it's a strikingly beautiful coast there, despite the contaminants. And I love going down to the East Avenue boat launch. There's a little jetty that you can walk out on. I set up a spotting scope and aim over towards the Erie Coke shoreline there. And there's a pile of rocks that there's often gulls and cormorants and waterfowl in there. It's a beautiful area, and it'd be amazing if it could be something that would even parts of it turn back to nature.
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you see? Again, your aquatics is your specialty. What are you seeing in our fish in that area there? Because there's a lot of people that, that dip their line in at Lampe and so on. Is that all safe, I guess, is my question.
I hope so. I mean, one of the things that DEP does on an annual basis is they collect fish and have them tested for contaminants, and it's that data that then informs Pennsylvania's fish consumption advisories. There was a lot of testing of fish being done back when the bay was an area of concern. We don't have that level of testing taking place anymore. But depending on what contaminants they might detect that might be released into the waters near Erie Coke, that might lead to some testing to make sure that there aren't dangerous contaminants getting into the food chain.
Let's grab another phone call. Hey, caller, you're live with Dr. Mike Campbell here on the Joel Natale Show.
Hi, Joel. Hi, Mike. That area, because the east side really is hurting as far as having access to the lake, would be a perfect park. It could have embellishments on it where maybe a little food stand or something, but it also could be the place where a ferry boat could take people, not cars, people or bicyclists across to the peninsula, where the people on the east side could really become connected to the lake, because they have not been so for years. And I think if that could be done, it would be a real asset for the city as far as helping to improve the east side also. Because if a bike path goes down around through there, cyclists could get on the ferry, go to the peninsula.
You're right. Back. Beach 11 is pretty close to the North Pier, and Thompson's Bay is a beautiful place to go fishing, and duck hunters love it. I agree. It would be wonderful if there was an easier connection for people on Erie's Lower East Side to be able to get over to Presque Isle.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Either all the east side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to help. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. I remember being a part of a public meeting with the Emerge 2040, the big one of the big plans, right? And one of the suggestions, which was really poo-pooed, but it was some kind of a bridge, like a drawbridge or a tunnel. And it makes me wonder, would the Erie Coke area be kind of an approach if you were going to put a drawbridge, skying over to the beach? I don't know.
It's amazing that there hasn't been more utilization of that side to get over to Presque Isle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can see Gull Point from the end of the South Pier. And I love going down to the South Pier in the summer months in the evening. And there's just a wonderful diversity of people that go there, and people fishing all along the pier, the ones that can't afford to buy a boat.
Right.
Fish from there. And the only thing I worry about is that they're not pulling fish out of there that might not be the best to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But there already is some nice utilization of that general area by a lot of the folks in our community that are recent immigrants too, which
sure.
is nice to see. And I think we just want to make sure it's safe.
Well, and to the caller's point, we don't need anything that would aggravate the citizens on the east side. For decades, generations, they've put up with a lot. You know, when you think about Erie Coke, you think about the emissions from hammer mill. Again, all good jobs, mind you, but air quality suffered. There was just a lot of suffering for putting up with a lot of the major industry that happened along our bayfront over the years and years, you know.
Yeah, I think Erie Coke and what happens there could be an opportunity for Erie to kind of step above where it may have been stuck for decades if it's done right.
Yeah, and literally it could be something that our grandchildren could really benefit from.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right, so what do you think HECA's plan is for 2024? What's going to be your action plan at Hold Erie Coke Accountable?
Well, we're going to be waiting with bated breath to see what the second year of DEP's comprehensive investigation comes up with and what kinds of vision might be developed by the Port Authority and the Redevelopment Authority, assuming they do get control of the site. And we just hope that however things play out, that the public has a voice. And HECA will be watching closely to try to ensure that happens. And it's great that we have folks in the county and city that are also interested in seeing how this plays out. The mayor, Joe Schember, has this on his agenda, and I'm thinking that his new the environmental advisory committee that is, I guess there's supposed to be a press thing about that tomorrow.
Yep.
The Erie Coke situation might be on the agenda for that new.
I would think it'd be high priority.
Yeah,
right?
I would hope. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, well, and I think what's cool with your organization is that you have a lot of widespread support. I mean, I'm sure you get little hecklers here and there, but not really. I mean, you've conducted yourselves well.
Well, thanks. I mean, we're a small group. At the core, there's maybe half a dozen of us that have been doing this, but I attribute our ability to achieve our goals as being a credit to the good people in our community, and that city leaders, city council, and county council people have always been willing to listen to us, and even our state and federal, our representatives in the Erie area have always, I think, given us their ear and have done things, you know.
Yeah.
To help advance things.
Well, and you have some good partners. When you think about the partners in the people that are concerned about the environment in Erie, and it doesn't take a rocket science to know that we have to protect our bayfront. We have to protect Presque Isle. We have to protect our access to the waterfront. It is why we're here. It is kind of our, you know, our great mother, that lake, you know. I think the WQLN Connections calls it our kin.
Yeah.
Right? The water is our kin.
You nailed it. And, like, I think right away of the Lake Erie Sons. Yeah. Ed Kissel was one of the people that was helping us when we were keeping a close eye on the bad things that were happening at Erie Coke. Ed Kissel, on several occasions, was the guy that made the call of, hey, you better go check out this, what's happening down there.
Yeah.
And my co-leader in HECA, Sister Pat Lupo, I have to give all the credit. She is such a good organizer, and I think you need to have somebody who can run a meeting and can motivate people to kind of do things. And Sister Pat and her colleagues at Mount St. Benedict are amazing partners in Erie's environment being healthy and safe.
Moving the needle from, you know, when you think about, you know, as a kid in, for me in the 60s, of where we were environmentally to where we are now, we've made incredible strides, and the future is bright if we stay focused and stay intentional, right?
I agree.
Dr. Mike Campbell from Hold Erie Coke Accountable, thanks for sharing the time.
It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.